Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Six Eyes Radio Network, the talk with missionary Ken Wolfgang. And have a great show for you tonight. But we want to thank everybody who has been with us for the last 10 years with the Six Eyes Radio Network. So as we end this last show of 2021 on this Friday, we're going to start with Old Man. Can you all hear me?
You're kind of breaking up, Six.
Yeah, I can hear you now, but you were a little broke up, sweetie.
Okay, what part did you not hear?
A little bit of everything I heard, but it was broke up real bad, so you might want to do it again.
All right, I'm going to do it again. Hey, everyone, welcome to the Six Eyes Radio Network. This is Six Eyes here. I want to thank everybody for joining us here on the Talk with Missionary Ken Wolfgang. Tonight we're going to have a great show, but first I want to thank everyone who has been with us for the last 10 years. On this last show of 2021 with the Talk with Missionary Ken Wolfgang, phone lines are open at 424-243-9617. We got a song. Here it is. So we want to thank everybody. And we're going to have a great show.
Should old acquaintance be forgot and never brought to mind? Should old acquaintance be forgot and
everyone, a prosperous new year from the Six Eyes Radio Network. Once again, thanks for rocking with us. Also, we want to send condolences. We lost actress Betty White today. Actress Betty White passed away at age 99. So we want to send out our thoughts and condolences to our family, friends, and fans at this difficult time. Also, 2 days back, we lost broadcaster, coach, and video game personality John Madden, passed away at age 85. So I just want to send condolences to them. Continue to wear your mask, practice social distancing as we're dealing with this Omicron, Corona, and Delta virus. Continue to wash your hands, practice social distancing, and wear your mask. And also, as New Year is approaching, it's a lot of gunshots being shot and guns fired. Guns, you know, are only safe by the user. So please be safe if you're out and about, you know, because people do not fire guns properly. You know, me and Kim was talking about this earlier. So just be careful. Stay away from windows because bullets have no eyes. So be safe, and as we go into 2022. All right, now you're enjoying the talk with Missionary Ken Wolfgang. Take it away.
And glory to God, aren't you glad he's God and he has not changed? His name is Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forevermore here on the Six Eyes Radio Network. And we want to say welcome one to welcome to all who have joined us tonight here on another Friday evening for the Talk with Missionary Ken and Ruth Wolfgang show. First, welcoming our surrounding city and states and our countries near and far, as well as those who call 424-243-9617. Again, 424-243-9617. You'll be able to press the number one, join the conversation, be able to ask your questions, give your comments, and at the end of the program, even be able to answer our question of the day. Amen. However, right now, we want to open with a word of prayer, get this show started off on the right foot. Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, we want to thank you, Lord Jesus, with the 56 countries and all the listeners that we have. We know that your word says, where two or three are gathered, you're in the midst. And Lord Jesus, we ask you now to take the wheel of this here program and have your way and your will, Lord Jesus. We first ask, Lord Jesus, that you would first touch that soul who is nearest hell. Help them to reel up the white flag, surrender, saying, I yield, knowing that your word says, Lord Jesus, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So, Lord, let this day be their day. Let them get in contact with us so we can rejoice with them in their newfound joy. And then, Lord Jesus, for the team of the Six Eyes Radio Network, we ask a special blessing and do pray, Lord Jesus, so they could keep on keeping on for you, whether it be mental, spiritual, physical, or financial. And then, Lord Jesus, for your children, we ask the same blessings so they can keep on keeping on for you, whether it be mental, spiritual, physical, or financial, Lord Jesus. And then, Lord Jesus, for those out there dealing with the COVID-19, Lord Jesus, first of all, those who've lost somebody due to COVID-19, Lord Jesus, for the family and friends, we ask a special blessing, Lord Jesus, you could comfort them as only you can, Lord Jesus. And then, Lord Jesus, for those who are actually dealing with COVID-19 right now, Lord Jesus, that you'd be able to heal them as only you can, Lord Jesus. And then, Lord Jesus, with situations like the George Floyd incident, Lord Jesus, and many other kinds of situations, just like, Lord Jesus, you got mail. We need to learn to love one another as we love ourselves, and love our neighbor as ourselves, Lord Jesus. In so doing, we'd be loving the omnipresent neighbor who is you, Lord Jesus. Now we ask and pray all this in your mighty and precious name. Amen and amen. All right, so now what we're going to do is we got a few preliminary announcements we're going to take care of, and then we'll just see who's all with us that might want to say hi just before the broadcast tonight. So let's take care of these few preliminary announcements as we get ready to get into the broadcast tonight. Amen.
This is Lynn Townsend. You're listening to the Six Eyes Radio Network.
If you'd like to get in contact with us here at the Six Eyes Radio Network, there are three email addresses you may use to get in contact with us. First of all, if you wish to get in contact with me, Missionary Kenneth Wolfgang, about any kind of Bible questions that you may have, or regarding the programming here, or complaints about programming, you may contact me at feelandtouchking@gmail.com. That's feel like you do with your fingertips, F-E-E-L, letter N as Nancy, touch like you do at your fingertips, T-O-U-C-H, king like the guy who sits on a throne, wears a crown, K-I-N-G, at gmail.com. In your subject line, you just put what you're in reference that you're wanting to get in contact with me about. Secondly, if you wish to get in contact with Ruth about her Bible prophecy, you would contact her by KJV1611Ruth@gmail.com. That's K as King, J as Jackson, V as Victory, 1611, R as Randy, U as Umbrella, T as Tom, H as Henry, @gmail.com. Again, KJV1611Ruth@gmail.com. In your subject line, put Bible prophecy. And thirdly, last but not least, If you wish to get a hold of Brother Six Eyes about any of his Six Eyes music studio productions work, where you can get recordings made, whether album, commercial, etc., or if you wish to get donation information for the station here at the Six Eyes Radio Network, you contact him at sixeyes6@gmail.com. That's S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6, at gmail.com. Again, S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6, at gmail.com. In your subject line for him, you put what you're in reference that you're wanting to get a hold of him about. And in all three cases, in your body of your message, refer it to your subject line, and we will not only read your message, but we will get back in contact with you. Amen.
Hello?
Yeah, hey, Ruth. I don't know what's going on with me, but I just, I'm so down. All I want to do is sleep and have no appetite. I feel like it's just better to sleep right now.
Sweetheart, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to say.
Yeah, Ruth, I wish you really knew what you could say or do, but I'm just disappointed. All I want to do is sleep, and it seems like anybody I talk to doesn't understand it.
I wish I did know what to do, sweetheart.
Well, sometimes friends don't know what to do. It's better to get the professionals to give you the help when you need it. And call the National Mental Health Line at 1-800-273-8255. Again, that number is 1-800-273-8255. And this message has been brought to you by Six Eyes Radio Network. Enjoy great programming here on the Six Eyes Radio Network 7 days a week by calling 424-243-9617. Again, 424-243-9617. Press the number 1. Join the conversation. And it all gets started here on Sunday for the Sunday Gospel Show. Get your praise on without leaving the house. 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Pacific. On Monday, get motivated with Motivational Monday with Pastor Kenneth Bonnet, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 Pacific. On Tuesday, Evangelist Timothy Gruber takes the mics on the Word of the King on Six Eyes Radio, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 Pacific. Then on Wednesday, it's time for Bible study with the Wednesday Bible Study Show with Missionary Ken and Ruth Wolfgang. Music and Scripture, 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 Pacific. On Thursday, it's the Jumbo Braille program here on the Six Eyes Radio Network, the one and only program here on the Six Eyes Radio Network that can be felt, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 Pacific. On Friday, it's College on the Air. It's the Talk with Missionary Ken and Ruth Wolfgang show. It's where you get Bible College on the Air with no homework, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 Pacific. And last but not least, it's open programming on Saturdays. Is U-Haul open?
We got to get this stuff moved. I heard about a great hauling service called Blind Truck in the Vastabula.
Oh, yeah?
Yes. They must have been around for a while. I hear they haul light furniture, groceries. I even heard they hauled pets at one time.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes, so I'm going to give them a call. The number is 440-789-9411. And they do have a PayPal. I hear they don't charge a thing, but they do accept donations, so we got to help keep them on the road. Their PayPal is the number 2FOR, the number 1, Katie, K-A-T-I-E, @gmail.com.
Okay.
Yes. So we got to get this stuff moved. So come on now. That's Blind Trucking. All right. Let's do it. That's Blind Trucking of Ashtabula. Blind Trucking of Ashtabula Hauling Service. 440-789-9411. All right, come on now.
Would you like to keep shows like this one on the air? Let me tell you how you can go about doing that. There are two methods. One, for those who use the PayPal platform, go to paypal.com, that's paypal.com, and in the box where it asks for the email address, you enter 6i6 at gmail.com, that's S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, the digit number 6, at gmail.com. For you Cash App users, you go to Cash App, you enter $SIXEYES, the digit 2, the digit number 4. Again, that's $SIXEYES, the digit 2, the digit 4. And in both cases, no matter how much your love gift, you enter that in. And we here at the Six Eyes Radio Network thank you very, very much. And God will greatly, richly, and most honorably bless you. Amen.
Hey, baby. I will be there shortly. Hope you are blessed. Hope the food is ready. Can't wait. Love you.
Now he'll never make dinner, never again, and several people won't make it home. Texting. It can wait. No texting while driving. Brought to you by Six Eyes Radio.
This commercial was also brought to you by Blind Trucking of Ashtabula. Keep your hands on the wheel and your eyes on the road. Amen. All right, and Sister Ruth, who do we got with us this afternoon?
Well, we already have the Father, Son, Holy Ghost, a band of angels that's already crowded off. And we have you, Brother Jim, Brother Six, and Little Me.
Okay. Well, just letting Six know, I do hope he stays through the whole show because this being the last show of 2021, we are going to have him close us in prayer so that he gets the last prayer in for 2021, this special show of the Talk with Missionary Ken and Ruth Wolfgang show. So stick around, Six, and I hope you're ready for a good show tonight, Six.
Hi, Kenny.
I am.
Yeah.
I have to give you guys a prayer, praise that just happened to me. I had a Charlie horse so bad I could barely stand, and the Lord gave me the knowledge what to do, and I actually walked in here, and I can now walk better than I have in a long time, and I'm praising God that there's no pain left.
Well, that's good. Yeah, this happened, Six, just before the show, and we were wondering if she was going to end up having to go to the hospital instead of doing the show tonight. So that worked out pretty good.
Glory, God is good.
Yep. But tonight we got a good show lined up for you, Six. We've been working on our series of David, when he started out as a shepherd and worked his way to being king of the second king of Israel. And we just finished last week talking about David when he took on Goliath. But tonight we're going to continue our study on David and see the first time when King Saul actually threatened David's life. We're going to find the first time that he actually threatened David's life. We're going to see that happen. We're also going to find some other interesting things that happened with David. So we're going to find that out as we continue with our study on David, part 3. And then, of course, in the middle of that, Six, as you well know, you take on the song with message and song and poem.
You're second to last. Do you continue your good buzzer from last week, or do you get the bad buzzer? In the event that you get the bad buzzer, we may use sound effects. It may affect those who have PTSD, et cetera. So just to let the listeners know that. Then after that's all completed, Ruth comes in with her Bible prophecy. And where are you taking us tonight, Ruth?
At Jesus, our prayer example.
Ooh, that's a good thing to think about. Jesus was a good prayer example, and we can follow him.
Don't you love his Lord's Prayer? You know, the one he always said, our Father without in heaven, you know the one.
Right. That's
Everybody loves that.
That's why he is our good prayer example. He, if anybody's an example in prayer, should be Jesus. So we'll be studying that tonight. And then afterward, of course, like I said, we'll be dealing with our question of the day. Doesn't have a right or wrong answer, but allows you to give your opinion. And then finally, like I said, we're going to have six close us in a prayer for our last show of 2021. And then after that, we end the whole show with a final Red Sylvine song for 2021, which I hope everybody will enjoy. So is everybody ready for a good show?
Yes, yes.
All right, so let's get going. Get out your pad and pencil, your note taker, your vocal note taker, your brailler, or for Ruthie Slayton stylus, pad, pencil, whatever. And here we go.
For those of you who call 424-243-9617, again, 424-243-9617, press the number one, join the conversation, especially at the end of our broadcast. You'll be able to ask your questions, give your comments, or even answer our question of the day. What was David's biggest sin, and what did you learn from it? What was David's biggest sin, and what did you learn from it? Amen. But right now we're going to get into our main topic of David, and this is David Part 3. And our first scripture context of the day where we're going to be studying tonight is found in 1 Samuel chapter 18, verses 1 to 30. 1 Samuel chapter 18, verses 1 through 30. All right, Ruthie, get a good swig of coffee. Take us there.
And it came to pass when he had made an end of speaking unto Saul that the soul of Jonathan was knit with the soul of David, and Jonathan loved him as his own soul. And Saul took him that day and would let him go no more home to his father's house. Then Jonathan and David made a covenant because he loved him as his own soul. And Jonathan stripped himself of the robe that was upon him, and gave it to David and his garments, even to his sword, and to his bow, and to his girdle. And David went out whithersoever Saul sent him, and behaved himself wisely. And Saul set him over the men of war, and he was accepted in the sight of all the people, and also in the sight of Saul's servants. And it came to pass, as they came, when David was returned from the slaughter of the Philistine, that the women came out of all cities of Israel and singing and dancing to meet King Saul with tabrets, with joy and with instruments of music. And the women answered one another as they played and said, Saul hath slain his thousands and David his 10,000. And Saul was very wroth. And the saying displeased him. And he said, they have ascribed unto David 10,000, and to me they have ascribed but thousands. And what can he have more but the kingdom? And Saul eyed David from that day and forward. And it came to pass on the morrow that the evil spirit from God came upon Saul, and he prophesied in the midst of the house. And David played with his hand, as at other times, and there was a javelin in Saul's hand. And Saul cast the javelin, for he said, I will smite David even to the wall with it. And David avoided out of his presence twice. And Saul was afraid of David because the Lord was with him and was departed from Saul. Therefore, Saul removed him from him and made him his captain over 1,000 and went out and came in before the people. And David behaved himself wisely in all his ways, and the Lord was with him. Wherefore, when Saul saw that he behaved himself very wisely, he was afraid of him. But all Israel and Judah loved David because he went out and came in before them. And Saul said to David, "Behold, my elder daughter Merab, her will I give thee to wife. Only be thou valiant for me and fight the Lord's battles. For Saul said, let not mine hand be upon him, but let the hand of the Philistines be upon him." And David said unto Saul, "Who am I, and what is my life, or my father's family in Israel, that I should be son-in-law to the king?" It came to pass at the time when Merab, Saul's daughter, should have been given to David, that she was given unto Adriel, the Meholathite, to wife. And Michal, Saul's daughter, loved David. And they told Saul, and the thing pleased him. And Saul said, "I will give him her, that she may be a snare to him, and that the hand of the Philistines may be against him." Wherefore Saul said unto David, "Thou shalt this day be my son-in-law in the one of the twain." And Saul commanded his servants, saying, "Commune with David secretly, and say, Behold, the king hath delight in thee, and all his servants love thee. Now, therefore, be the king's son-in-law." And Saul's servants spake those words in the ears of David, and David said, "Seemeth it to you a light thing to be a king's son-in-law, seeing that I am a poor man and lightly esteemed?" The servants of Saul told him, saying, "On this matter spake David." And Saul said, "Thus shall ye say to David, the king desireth not any dowry, but 100 foreskins of the Philistines, to be avenged of the king's enemies." But Saul thought to make David fall by the hand of the Philistines. And when his servants told David these words, it pleased David well to be the king's son-in-law, and the days were not expired. Wherefore David rose and went, he and his men, and slew of the Philistines 200 men. And David brought their foreskins, and they gave them in full tale to the king, that he might be this king's son-in-law. And Saul gave him Michal, his daughter, to wife. And Saul saw and knew that the Lord was with David, and that Michal, Saul's daughter, loved him. And Saul was yet the more afraid of David, and Saul became David's enemy continually. Then the princes of the Philistines went forth, and it came to pass, after they went forth, David behaved himself more wisely than all the servants of Saul, so that his name was much set by.
All right. Tonight we had a lot of meat to cover. The budding friendship between Jonathan and David. We got the beginning of how David becomes the husband of Michal, Saul's daughter. And we also find a very important factor in how Saul starts to seek the life of David and wants to murder him, the beginnings to that. But more important, the behavior of David. So lots of ground to cover. And so let's get started with our first scripture context in this text, which is found in 1 Samuel 18, verses 1 to 5, 1 Samuel chapter 18, verses 1 through 5. All right, Ruthie, take us there.
And it came to pass, when he had made an end of speaking unto Saul, that the soul of Jonathan was knit with the soul of David, and Jonathan loved him as his own soul. And Saul took him that day, and would let him go no more home to his father's house. Then Jonathan and David made a covenant, because he loved him as his own soul. And Jonathan stripped himself of the robe that was upon him, and gave it to David and his garments, even to his sword, and to his bow, and to his girdle. And David went out whithersoever Saul sent him. and behaved himself wisely. And Saul set him over the men of war, and he was accepted in the sight of all the people, and also in the sight of Saul's servants.
In this part of the text, we find that Jonathan and David, their spirits, their friendship became knit so well together. Jonathan gave him of his robe, his garments, right down to his sword, etc. And they made a covenant together that they would be basically good friends. And when they did, they sit there and they were, and so they did. And then you notice it's not a matter of do-havior. It's a matter of behavior. David behaved himself more wisely. When he was behaving wisely, he took and they put him over the servants of Saul. Amen. So, when you behave yourself wisely, God will raise you up in the things that he expects you to be doing. Amen. All right, our next scripture context is found in 1 Samuel 18, verses 6 to 12. 1 Samuel 18, verses 6 to 12. All right, Ruthie, take us there.
And it came to pass as they came, when David was returned from the slaughter of the Philistines, that the women came out of all cities of Israel, singing and dancing to meet King Saul with tabrets, with joy, and with instruments of music. And the women answered one another as they played and said, Saul has slain his thousands and David his 10,000s. And Saul was very wroth, and the saying displeased him. And he said, they have ascribed unto David 10,000s. To me they have ascribed but thousands. What can he have more but the kingdom? And Saul eyed David from that day and forward. And it came to pass on the morrow that the evil spirit from God came upon Saul, and he prophesied in the midst of the house. And David played with his hand as at other times, and there was a javelin in Saul's hand. And Saul cast the javelin, for he said, I will smite David, even to the well with it. And David avoided out of his presence twice. And Saul was afraid of David, because the Lord was with him, and was departed from Saul.
And here we find the beginnings of when Saul starts to seek David's life. What caused it? Before, Saul had no problem when David was in his presence. But when the women started to sing their songs and basically started to sing the praises of David, saying that David had killed his 10,000s while Saul only killed his thousands, basically making David bigger and better than Saul, Saul got jealous. That's really what it all boiled down to. Saul got jealous, and so now he's wanting to murder David because he thinks, oh, David's going to, what does David got left but to take the throne over? I think Saul knew all along that God was going to take and replace it. Replace him on the throne with somebody else, and probably it would be David. And Saul knew that his days were numbered, and he didn't want to be replaced. So he was going to take David out and not to breakfast. Amen. All right. And our next scripture context is found in 1 Samuel chapter 18, verses 13 and 19. 1 Samuel 18, verses 13 to 19. All right, Ruthie, take us there.
Therefore, Saul removed him from him and made him his captain over 1,000. And he went out and came in before the people. And David behaved himself wisely in all his ways, and the Lord was with him. Wherefore, when Saul saw that he behaved himself very wisely, he was afraid of him. But all Israel and Judah loved David because he went out and came in before them. And Saul said to David, "Behold, my elder daughter Merab, here will I give thee to wife. Only be thou valiant for me and fight the Lord's battles. For Saul said, let not mine hand be upon him, but let the hand of the Philistines be upon him. And David said unto Saul, who am I, and what is my wife, or my father's family in Israel, that I should be son-in-law to the king? But it came to pass at the time when Merab, Saul's daughter, should have been given to David, that she was given unto Adriel, the Meholathite, to wife."
All right. And you notice here, now Saul comes up with another plan. He says, well, I'll fix David. I ain't going to kill him myself. I'll let the enemies, the Philistines, do it. And tell David to go out, fight my battles, and let the enemies kill him off. We find later David uses the same tactic when he does his sin. But what does he do? He takes and uses that tactic and then promises David one of his daughters, but then ends up taking that daughter and marrying her off to somebody else. But yet, in all this time, what does it say of David? He continues to behave himself wisely. As I said before, I repeat again, it's not a matter of do-havior, it's a matter of behavior. Amen. All right, now as we get ready to do our recap of this half of the show, just want to remind us that after we do the recap, Six will be coming in to do his common message in song and poem. Will he get the good buzzer or bad buzzer? Right now he is 18 for 24, and he has one good buzzer in a row. Will he make it 19 for 25 and two good buzzers in a row? Or will it go the other way and be 18 for 25 and a bad buzzer? So we'll see how that turns out. Does he get the good buzzer or bad buzzer? Six, you're going to find out today. All right. As he comes down to the last two shots that he has in this series of the song and poem, we'll see how he does. But right now we're going to go into our recap, which is found in this context: 1 Samuel 18, verses 1 to 19. 1 Samuel 18, verses 1 to 19. All right, Ruthie, get a good swig of coffee. Take us there.
It came to pass when he had made an end of speaking unto Saul that the soul of Jonathan was knit with the soul of David, and Jonathan loved him as his own soul. And Saul took him that day and would let him go no more home to his father's house. Then Jonathan and David made a covenant because he loved his soul. And Jonathan stripped himself of the robe that was upon him and gave it to David and his garments, even to his sword and to his bow and to his girdle. And David went out whithersoever Saul sent him, and behaved himself wisely, and Saul set him over the men of war, and he was accepted in the sight of all the people, and also in the sight of Saul's servants. And it came to pass, as they came, when David was returned from the slaughter of the Philistines, that the women came out of all cities of Israel, singing and dancing to meet King Saul with tabrets, with joy and with instruments of music. And the women answered one another as they played and said, Saul hath slain his thousands and David his 10,000. And Saul was very wroth, and the saying displeased him. And he said, they have ascribed unto David 10,000, and to me they have ascribed but thousands. And what can he have more than but the kingdom? And Saul eyed David from that day and forward. It came to pass on the morrow that the evil spirit from God came upon Saul, and he prophesied in the midst of the house. And David played with his hand, as at other times, and there was a javelin in Saul's hand. And Saul cast the javelin, for he said, I will smite David, even to the wall with it. And David avoided out of his presence twice. Saul was afraid of David, because the Lord was with him, and was departed from Saul. Therefore Saul removed him from him and made him his captain over a thousand, and he went out to the and came in before the people. And David behaved himself wisely in all his ways, and the Lord was with him. Wherefore, when Saul saw that he behaved himself very wisely, he was afraid of him. But all Israel and Judah loved David because he went out and came in before them. And Saul said to David, Behold, my elder daughter Merab, her will I give thee to wife. Only be thou valiant for me, and fight the Lord's battles. For Saul said, Let not mine hand be upon him, but let the hand of the Philistines be upon him. And David said unto Saul, Who am I, and what is my life, or my father's family in Israel, that I should be son-in-law to the king? But it came to pass at the time when Merab, Saul's daughter, should have been given to David, that she was given unto Adriel, the Meholathite, to wife.
All right. And so, once again, we do find Jonathan and David making their little covenant. We find, of course, David behaving himself wisely, Saul putting him over his men, but the main purpose he was hoping to do was because he got jealous. Saul got jealous over David. They ascribed to him 10,000s, while he only did a little old me thousands. Boo-hoo. Poor little King Saul. Don't you feel sorry for him? Boo-hoo. And then he pulled the dirty trick, promising David his one daughter, but then at the end, giving her to another man to wife. Amen. All right, now it's that time to turn the mic over to Brother Six to see if he could get the common message in this song and in this poem. Amen.
She was driving last Friday on her way to Cincinnati on a snow white Christmas Eve. Going home to see her mama and her daddy with the baby in the back seat. 50 miles to go and she was running low. Faith and gasoline. It's been a long, hard year. She had a lot on her mind and she didn't pay attention. She was going away too fast. Before she knew it, she was spinning on a thin black sheet of glass. She saw both of life flash before her eyes. She didn't even have time to cry. She was so scared. She threw her hands up in the air. Thank you.
Somebody's boy. Is it yours or mine that will fill the place in the drunkard's line? We see the mournful funeral train, the sodden heart and the reeling brain. We see low down in the noisome grave the man who once had a soul to save. We can hear the wail of the helpless child and the drunkard's voice by drink made wild. The wretched homes and the wretched lives, the wailing babes and mourning wives. But somebody's boy will fill the place in the broken ranks of the drunkard's race. 'Tis somebody's boy, is it yours or mine? Oh, God, that will march in the drunkard's line. The drunkards are dying one by one. Their cups are full and their race is run. But their ranks are full as they were before. They silently pass to the unseen shore. Their ranks are as full for the boy today who drinks with the rest in a manly way. Will be in the future, the drunken sought, for a wasted life is the drunkard's lot. 'Tis somebody's boy, God grant it be, not the boy who he loved in his infancy. 'Twill be somebody's boy, for the power of sin is surely drawing our darlings in. So let us watch with tears and prayer that the boys we love will not march there.
All right, Six, now that you've heard that song and that poem, can you close out this year by telling us the message between the two?
Yeah, so this is a stumper because the song says Jesus takes the wheel. Okay, so she's driving and nothing she can do. She's sliding on the ice. All she can do was give it to Jesus. So that's what she did. The song talked about drunken people that passed. Truckers. So I give it to Jesus. That's something I can think of. I don't know if that's right or wrong, but that's what they say. Call on Jesus.
Well, yes, it was tough, but you did get it 100% correct. Give it to Jesus, because you got to give to Jesus not only the wheel, but the drunkards, or the, in this case, the devil's bid for boys, give them to Jesus instead of to the drunkard. Amen.
That was a tough one. Thank you. That was a tough one.
Woo-hoo! And to end out this year, you're now 25, 8, 19 for 20, and now you only got 1 week. Can you continue the momentum to finish out and make it 20 for 26? We'll find out next week. But right now, we're going to hear about the great programming found only here at the Six Eyes Radio Network and a little station ID. Amen. Enjoy great programming here on the Six Eyes Radio Network 7 days a week by calling 424-243-9617. Again, 424-243-9617. Press the number one. Join the conversation. And it all gets started here on Sunday for the Sunday Gospel Show. Get your praise on without leaving the house. 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Pacific. On Monday, get motivated with Motivational Monday with Pastor Kenneth Bonnet, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 Pacific. On Tuesday, Evangelist Timothy Gruber takes the mics on the Word of the King on Six Eyes Radio, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 Pacific. Then on Wednesday, it's time for Bible study with the Wednesday Bible Study Show with Missionary Ken and Ruth Wolfgang with great music and scripture, 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 Pacific. On Thursday, it's the Jumbo Braille program here on the Six Eyes Radio Network, the one and only program here on the Six Eyes Radio Network that can be felt, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 Pacific. On Friday, it's College on the Air. It's the Talk with Missionary Ken and Ruth Wolfgang show. It's where you get Bible College on the Air with no homework, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 Pacific. And last but not least, it's open programming on Saturdays. Hello, I'm Missionary Kenneth Wolfgang.
And I'm Emily Barnum.
And we're Blind Trucking of Ashtabula, Ohio.
Keep your hands on the wheel.
And your eyes on the road. And we support this program.
Here on the Six Eyes
Radio Network. Hallelujah. We're back and want to remind those who called 424-243-9617. Again, 424-243-9617. You better press number one during the conversation, especially at the end of this broadcast. Ask your questions, give your comments, or even answer our question of the day. What was David's biggest sin, and what did you learn from it? What was David's biggest sin, and what did you learn from it? Amen. But right now, we're going to get back into our study on David, part 3, and our next scripture context is found in 1 Samuel chapter 18, verses 20 to 24, 1 Samuel chapter 18, verses 20 through 24. All right, Ruthie, take us there.
And Michal, Saul's daughter, loved David, and they told Saul, and the thing pleased him. And Saul said, I will give him her, and that she may be a snare to him, and that the hand of the Philistines may be against him. Wherefore Saul said to David, thou shalt this day be my son-in-law in the town of the twain. And Saul commanded his servants, saying, commanded his David secretly, and say, behold, the king hath delight in thee, and therefore be the king's son-in-law. And Saul's servants spake those words in the ears of David. And David said, seemeth it to you a light thing to be a king's son-in-law, seeing that I am a poor man and lightly esteemed? And the servants of Saul told him, saying, in this manner spake David.
Now, remember our question of the day, because it kind of lines up with what happens here with King Saul. Notice, he kind of hatches a plan to kill King David, who's going to be King David. But right now, he's just a servant. He's a soldier. Sound familiar? He's a soldier. David's in love with Michal. And Saul says to his servants, hey, tell David, basically, you're in love with my daughter. Well, if you're in love with her,
I love you to be my son-in-law. And David says, yeah, right. But I'm a poor man. I'm a poor man. Now notice, that's how the conversation played out. And they brought that word back to King Saul, saying, David says, well, I'm the poor man. I'm a poor man. But watch now what King Saul has hatched up. Watch what King Saul has hatched up and see if it doesn't kind of line up with what the David's big sin was. Okay? Now, listen carefully with our next scripture context, which is signed in. 1 Samuel 18, verses 25 to 30. 1 Samuel 18, verses 25 to 30. All right, Ruthie, take us there.
And Michael, Saul's daughters, loved David, and they told Saul, and the thing pleased him. And Saul said, I will give him her, that she may be a snare to him, and that the hand of the Philistines may be against him. Wherefore Saul said to David, thou shalt this day be my son-in-law in the one of the twain. And Saul commanded his servants, saying, commune with David secretly, and say, behold, the king hath delight in thee, and all his servants love thee. Now therefore be the king's son-in-law. Saul's servants spake those in the words of ears of David. And David said, seemeth it to you a light thing to be a king's son-in-law, seeing that I am a poor man and lightly esteemed? And the servants of Saul told him, saying, on this manner spake David. And Saul said, thus shall he say to David, and the king desired not any dowry, but 100 foreskins of the Philistines to be avenged of the king's enemies. But Saul thought to make David fall by the hand of the Philistines. And when his servants told David these words, it pleased David well to be the king's son-in-law, and the days were not expired. Wherefore David arose and went, he and his men, and slew of the Philistines 200 men. And David brought their foreskins, and they gave them in full tale to the king, that he might be the king's son-in-law. And Saul gave him Michal, his daughter, to wife. And Saul saw and knew that the Lord was with David, and that Michal, Saul's daughters, loved him. And Saul was yet more afraid of David, and Saul became David's enemy continually. And the princes of the Philistines went forth, and it came to pass after they went forth that David behaved himself more wisely than all the servants of Saul, so that his name was much set by.
And, of course, Ruthie, you gave us the beginning again there, verse 20 up to 24, added into what I needed there, 25 to 30. But you notice here, Saul gave us, he said, David, go out and kill this bunch of Philistines. I want you to kill 100 Philistines, bring their foreskins to prove you've killed them, and we'll give you Michal, my daughter, to wife. Sound familiar to the sin of David? Yeah. David sent the other guy into the hottest part of the battle, hoping he would die. And he did. But here, Saul is hoping that David would die by the hands of the Philistines. And David saying, oh, yeah, I know I can handle this. So he goes out in the battle. And instead of just 100 foreskins, he comes back with double that amount, 200, shows it to the king and says, here you go. And he was given to Michal to wife. And then it says that he went out and behaved himself more wisely than all the servants of Saul. So his name is much set thereby. Can you say that of your behavior before your friends, before your acquaintance, before your family, that your behavior is more wise than your family, friends, etc.? Amen. All right, now we're going to have Ruth, since she already read that, we're going to have her read it one more time, 20 to 30, 1 Samuel 18, 20 to 30. Have her read that text one more time so we could savor it one more time
as we recap the second half of this study. Amen. All right, Ruthie, get a good swig of coffee. Take us there.
And Michael, Saul's daughter, loved David, and they told Saul, and the thing pleased him. And Saul said, I will give him her, that she may be a snare to him, and that the hand of the Philistines may be against him. Wherefore Saul said to David, thus shalt this day be my son-in-law in the one of the twain. And Saul commanded his servants, saying, commune with David secretly and say, behold, the king hath delight in thee, and all his servants love thee. Now therefore the king's son-in-law. And Saul's servants spake these words in the ears of David. And David said, seemeth it to you, a light thing to be a king's son-in-law, seeing I'm a poor man and lightly esteemed. And the servants of Saul told him, saying, on this manner spake David. And Saul said, thus shall ye say to David, the king desireth not any dowry, but 100 foreskins of the Philistines to be avenged of the king's enemies. But king sought to make David fall by the hand of the Philistines. And when his servants told David these words, it pleased David well to be the king's son-in-law, and the days were not expired. Wherefore David arose and went, and he and his men, and slew of the Philistines 200 men. And David brought their foreskins, and they gave them in full tale to the king. And he might be the king's son-in-law, and Saul gave him Michal, his daughter, to wife. And Saul saw and knew that the Lord was with David, and that Michal, Saul's daughter, loved him. And Saul was yet the more afraid of David, and Saul became David's enemy continually. Then the princes of the Philistines went forth, and it came to pass after they went forth that David behaved himself more wisely than all the servants of Saul, so his name was much set by.
And here we find, once again, like I said, the big sin of David with Uriah and Bathsheba kind of parallels this one. Saul trying to pull the same thing with David. Go out and fight the battles, hoping that David would be killed. But unlike David pulling the dirty thing with Uriah, David pulled a better job of it, because he said, when you get Uriah out there in the field, in the battle, pull away from him, leave him alone to fight the battle alone. Saul didn't do that. Saul just says, hey, take him out there, let him fight the battle. But he didn't say nothing about pulling back and leaving David to be by himself. So David goes out there, fights the battles, and shows himself to be a valiant warrior, and he does win the battles. Amen. And he does not get killed. But basically, there is a parallel here between what Saul tried to do to David and what David did to Uriah because of Bathsheba. Amen. So that's what we find. Amen. All right, now we're going to recap the whole show with the whole chapter of 1 Samuel, chapter 18, verses 1 through 30. We're going to recap the whole thing so that we can savor the whole thing and get everything in context. 1 Samuel, chapter 18, verses 1 through 30. All right, Ruthie, get a good swig of coffee. Take us there.
And it came to pass, when he had made an end of speaking unto Saul, that the soul of Jonathan was knit with the soul of David, and Jonathan loved him as his own soul. And Saul took him that day and would let him go no more home to his father's house. And Jonathan and David made a covenant, because he loved him as his own soul. And Jonathan stripped himself of the robe. He stripped himself to him on him, and gave it to David, and his garments, even to his sword, and to his bow, and to his girdle. And David went out whithersoever Saul sent him, and behaved himself wisely, and Saul set him over the men of war, and he was accepted in the sight of all the people, and also in the sight of Saul's servants. And it came to pass as they came when David was returned from the slaughter of the Philistines, that the women came out of all cities of Israel, singing and dancing to joy and with instruments of music. And the women answered one to another as they played and said, Saul has slain his thousands and David his son, David his 10,000s. And Saul was very wroth, and the saying displeased him. And he said, they have ascribed unto David 10,000s, and to me they have ascribed but thousands. And what can he have more than the kingdom? And Saul eyed David from that day and forward. And it came to pass on the tomorrow that the evil spirit from prophesied in the midst of the house, and David prayed with his hand, as at other times, and there was a javelin in Saul's hand. And Saul cast the javelin, for he said, I will surely smite David, even to the wall with it. And David avoided out of his presence twice. And Saul was afraid of David, because the Lord was with him, and that was departed from Saul. Therefore, Saul removed from him and made him his captain over 1,000, and went out and came in before the people. And David behaved himself wisely in all his ways, and the Lord was upon him. Genesis 39:2-3 and verse 23. Saul was afraid of David because the Lord was with him and was departed from him, Saul. Therefore Saul removed him from him and made him his captain over 1,000, and he went out and came in before the people. And David behaved himself wisely in all his ways, and the Lord was with him. Therefore, when Saul saw that he behaved himself very wisely, he was afraid of him. But all Israel and Judah loved David, because he went out and came in before them. And Saul said to David, Behold, my elder daughter, Merab, her will I give thee to wife. Only be thou valiant for me, and fight the Lord's battles. For Saul said, Let not my hand be upon him, let the hand of the Philistines be upon him. And David said unto Saul, Who am I, and what is my life or my father's family in Israel, that I should be son-in-law to the king? But it came to pass at the time when Merab, Saul's daughter, should have been given to David, that she was given unto Adriel, the Mahalathite, to wife. And Michal, Saul's daughter, loved David, and they told Saul, and the thing pleased him. And Saul said, I will give him her, and she may be a snare to him, and that the hand of the Philistines may be against him. Wherefore Saul said to David, Thou shalt this day be my son-in-law in the one of the twain. And Saul commanded his servants, saying, Commune with David secretly, and say, Behold, the king hath delight in thee, and all his servants love thee. Now, therefore, be the king's son-in-law. And Saul's servants spake these words in the ears of David, and David said, Seemeth it to you a light thing to be a king's son-in-law, seeing that I'm a poor man and lightly esteemed? The servants of Saul told him, saying, On this manner spake David. And Saul said, Thus shall ye say to David, The king desireth not any dowry, but 100 foreskins of the Philistines to be avenged of the king's enemies. But Saul thought to make David fall by the hand of the Philistines. And when his servants told David these words, it pleased David well to be the king's son-in-law, and the days were not expired. Wherefore David arose and went, he and his men, and slew of the Philistines 200 men, and David brought their foreskins, and they gave them in full tale to the king, that he might be the king's son-in-law. And Saul gave him Michal his daughter to wife. And Saul saw and knew that the Lord was with David, and that Michal, Saul's daughter, loved him. And Saul was yet the more afraid of David, and Saul became David's enemy continually. Then the princes of the Philistines went forth, and it came to pass after they went forth that David behaved himself more wisely than all the servants of Saul, so that his name was much set by.
And as we find, the main point throughout this whole text was the behavior of David. That his behavior was more honorable than all the servants of Saul. Amen. So it's not a matter of do-havior, but of behavior. Amen. But I want to remind those who called 424-243-9617, again, 424-243-9617, press the number one, join the conversation. You can ask your questions, give your comments, especially at the end of the broadcast, or even answer our question of the day. Biggest sin, and what did you learn from it? What was David's biggest sin, and what did you learn from it? Amen. But right now, we're going to pause for a few messages, such as station ID, etc., and we'll be right back with you. Amen.
This is Lynn Tolliver. You're listening to the Six Eyes Radio Network.
Hello?
Yeah, I'm just ready to say heck with life and ready to feel like I'm feeling like I'd be better off 6 foot under.
You don't want to do that, Em. I don't know much about this.
Well, that's just how I'm feeling.
Well, if that's how you're feeling, you may call a friend. But remember, they're not professionals, and they may not know how to help you. It's better if you call the National Suicide Prevention Line at 1-800-273-8255. Again, that number is 1-800-273-8255. And this message has been brought to you by Six Eyes Radio Network.
Is U-Haul open? We got to get this stuff moved. I heard about a great hauling service called Blind Truck in the Vastabula.
Oh, yeah?
Yes. They must have been around for a while. I hear they haul light furniture, groceries. I even heard they hauled pets at one time.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes, so I'm going to give them a call. The number is 440-789-9411. And they do have a PayPal. I hear they don't charge a thing, but they do accept donations. So we got to help keep them on the road. Their PayPal is the number 2-F-O-R, the number 1-Katie, K-A-T-I-E, at gmail.com.
Okay.
Yes. So we got to get this stuff moved. So come on now. That's Blind Trucking. All right. Let's do it. That's Blind Trucking of Ashtabula. Blind Truck and Ambassador Hauling Service, 440-789-9411. All right, come on now.
All right.
Hey, baby. I will be there shortly. Hope you are there. Hope the food is ready. Can't wait.
He'll never make dinner, never again, and several people won't make it home. Texting. It can wait. No texting while driving. Brought to you by Six Eyes Radio.
This commercial was also brought to you by Blind Trucking of Ashtabula, Ohio. Your hands on the wheel and your eyes on the road. Amen. But now it's time for Ruth and her Bible prophecy. Amen.
Among us, many shall fall away. Famine, war, and desolation Nation rising against nation, trouble everywhere you turn. As in the time of Noah, in the days before the flood, sin will cool the love of men, and the streets will run with blood. Rape and murder, grief and sorrow, just like Sodom and Gomorrah, this world is gonna burn.
Tribulation,
I don't want to be here.
Tribulation,
when that flame of fire comes down.
Tribulation,
when the seven seas are broken,
and the seven vials are open,
and the seven trumpets sound.
Our prayer example is this lesson. As one examines the pages of God's Holy Bible, invariably one comes upon the doctrine of prayer. The Bible is filled with examples of great, tall, oaken timbers of faith who felt the necessity of prayer and demonstrated their faith in Almighty God by continually beseeching Him through the avenue of prayer. The Bible lists the prayers of such notables of Scripture as Abraham, Moses, Hannah, Samuel, Elisha, Hezekiah, Isaiah, Manasseh, Ezra, Nehemiah, Job, Jeremiah, Daniel, Jonah, various disciples, and other believers under certain disheartening circumstances, as well as the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Isn't that an impressive list of notables of the Hall of Sacred Writings who recorded earnest prayers in Holy Writ? There are many outstanding and striking characteristics. characteristics of Christ, which were demonstrated during his ministry on the earth, his positive teaching approach. The simple parabolical language of the everyday man is one which has stirred even the profound minds of every generation. His tremendous humility and compassion for the multitudes has been a means of melting the cold, stony hearts of indifferent ones down through the centuries. The great teacher of all times took out from his busy schedule to pick up a tiny little tot, sit it on his lap, and tell the listening multitude, except they become as little children, they could not see the kingdom of heaven. Who today has time for the urchin in the street? Where is our humility? Who wants to become a servant before becoming a leader? Most all the people we hire want the boss's job first. Isn't that true? The great work of physical healing which Jesus carried on during his short ministry is probably one of the paramount experiences recorded in Holy Writ for posterity's sake. He was always involved in those things which benefited the other person. He was famous for going out of his way and bringing about physical healing to those who were distraught, whose bodies were racked with agonizing pain. And when you think of Jesus Christ, you think of the miracles of healing he performed in his short ministry of just a little more than 3 years' duration. There are many desirable attributes that come to mind when you think of the lone Galilean, such as his supreme sacrifice of going throughout the land and ever continually doing those things which were a benefactor to the multitudes. Yet on the other hand, the individual begins to probe the depths of the scriptures, seeking God's perfect will for their own individual lives. The one great truth which stands out far above all other virtues which Jesus manifested while on earth is the doctrine of prayer. It's probably the most impressive part of his life, because when one realizes that he was the Son of God, he was the living word of God, and yet we find he was a man of consecrated, systematic, energizing prayer, we're made to realize the great loss manifested in our own individual lives because of the lack of prayer. When I think how the Son of God spent long, weary hours in prayer, forcing himself to stay awake so he could pray, on some occasions even all night long, I find myself coming under deep conviction, realizing the inadequacy of my own individual, personal Christian life compared to his. Truly, Jesus Christ set a noble example that if we preachers or teachers or whatever you're doing for God, Bible teachers, lay gospel workers, and everyday church members would follow, we would greatly benefit. And I think there would be a noticeable spiritual upturn in the work of God almost immediately. As an illustration of what I'm saying, allow me to turn to the third gospel and read a short record concerning Christ's prayer life. Here it is. And it came to pass in those days that he went out into a mountain to pray, continued all night in prayer to God. Luke 6:12, King James Version. Can you imagine an individual going out on a lonely hilltop, not any of the comforts of everyday life, just wrapped in the holy cloak he possessed, and there finding a secluded place, probably under a tree, maybe somewhat sheltered between two large rocks or boulders, and then spending the entire night in meditation, continually praying to his Heavenly Father up in heaven? Imagine that. How many of us are willing to pray even for half an hour? I'm somewhat appalled at the routine watch night services in local churches. As the midnight hour approaches, on several occasions we've been asked by our pastor to get on our knees and pray. New Year comes in. At the end of 10 or 15 minutes, bones begin to ache, pains begin to shoot up the legs because the toes are somewhat cramped, the knees rest on the hard floor, and when the gong strikes 12 or the church bells toll the hour of midnight, it's so refreshing to hear someone say amen so we can stand up with a smile of accomplishment on our face, say to ourselves, thank God that's over. That the Son of God spent the entire dark hours of night in continual prayer. Jesus was our prayer example. If he, who was with the Father in the beginning, the one who brought into being all that exists throughout the countless vast regions of the universe, felt the need for prayer, demonstrated his need by actually spending long hours in communication with his Heavenly Father, how much more should we, poor sinful mankind, tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine, spend time in prayer that we might energize our spiritual being? Something to think about, isn't it? May God help us to become prayer warriors. You know, we used to go to a church where we had what they call the war room where we prayed. I thought it was pretty cool. Of all the great virtues manifested by the Son of God, having a direct consequence upon the individual Christian today, I believe that prayer is the paramount one. Truly, Christ set the pace in the realm of prayer, showing a pattern that each of his children and followers would be too good to adopt. He spent all night in prayer. The Bible says he often had early morning sessions of prayer. Scripture, and in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place and there prayed. Mark 1:35 in the KJV. We should do the same. I think the Lord could help us do that more often, pray more. As we examine Jesus, our prayer example, we also find he took time to pray during the busy periods of his work with pressing duties on every side. Regardless of how busy we get during the working day, and let's confess that some of us are extra busy, yet we must believe that the Son of God was just as busy as any of us, and he found time to pray. Scripture, and great multitudes came together to hear and to be healed by him of their infirmities. And he withdrew himself into the wilderness and prayed. Luke 5:15-16, KJV. How many times do we, during the pressures of the day, excuse ourselves and pray? Bible plainly outlines in simple, easy-to-understand language that Jesus Christ oftentimes did not have time to eat the meals that were available to him because of pressing circumstances, and he passed up meals so he could pray, so he'd energize the inner man and keep open the communications channel between himself and his Heavenly Father. And there's scripture. And the multitude cometh together again, so they could not so much as eat bread. And when his friends heard of it, they went out to lay hold on him, for they said, he is beside himself. Mark 3:20-21, KJV. Some of Jesus' friends and close associates considered he might be insane and complete fanatical over religion. I don't think many of us have been accused of such. That is, on the grounds that we refuse to eat in order to do the work of God. Do you know anybody who's losing weight and needs a special medicine from the drugstore because they're too busy for God to eat? No, most of us are overweight, and we're going on a diet to keep within certain boundaries so our clothes will fit us. We're not missing any meals, too. Pray, as Jesus did. Let us share another portion of Scripture with you along the same line so you'll see that we aren't using an isolated portion of Scripture. He said unto them, come ye yourselves apart into a desert place. Rest a while, for there were many coming and going, and they had no leisure so much as to eat. Mark 6:31 in the KJV. Another tremendous part of the prayer life of Jesus Christ that has impressed me over the years is the fact he prayed in view of important events in his life and ministry. In other words, he didn't take anything for granted. Let's examine carefully his anointing with the Holy Spirit and the power which came upon him at the beginning of his public ministry. Here's a scripture. Now, when all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also being baptized and praying, the heaven was opened and the Holy Ghost descended in a bodily shape like a dove upon him, and a voice came from heaven which said, thou art my beloved Son, in thee I am well pleased. Luke 3:21-22, KJV. The baptism of Jesus Christ in the Jordan, when God placed his stamp of approval upon Jesus Christ in his ministry, we have here recorded the first of seven times by Luke, the physician, that Jesus Christ prayed. He didn't run out to the bank and start signing autographs. He didn't call over a secretary and start dictating a news article for the local newspaper. He didn't have Judas run down to the local newspaper and put an ad in the paper announcing he had been anointed afresh by his Father from heaven. But in humility and deep conviction in that sublime moment of exaltation, he prayed to his Heavenly Father. Yes, Jesus is our prayer example. I wonder how many of us actually had consecrated systematic fervent prayer over any given length of time when we were choosing our life mates, our wives or our husbands. Yet the Bible specifically tells us that before Jesus chose and ordained his 12 disciples, it's at the time of prayer. It's true, the scripture mentions just one particular little prayer meeting. But knowing the pattern of Christ's life, I made you believe that he prayed much about the choosing and the ordaining of his disciples. Note what the scripture has to say about that situation. Here it is. And it came to pass in those days that he went out into a mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God. When it was day, he called upon his disciples, and with them he chose 12, whom also he named apostles, Luke 6:12-13 in KJV. I don't know if any of us have ever spent a whole night in prayer before we chose our wife or our husband, yet that decision is probably the second most important decision any man or woman ever takes or makes in their lifetime. When Jesus chose 12 men out of the realm of his acquaintance, even though he was the Son of God, and though he was the one who existed even before the beginning of creation, Scripture tells us he continued all night in prayer to God. The situation which Jesus was involved and which he reacted to was absolutely contrary to the way most of us react under similar circumstances. In other words, when success comes into the life of the average person today, if he's an unbeliever, if the success is of any magnitude, such as being elevated in his profession and his annual salary being increased several thousand dollars a year, it's customary to throw a cocktail party, have an elaborate and costly meal for his friends, and buy expensive gifts for his wife and family, and in general, celebrate. That's the way the world does it. On the other hand, when the average Christian receives or reaches a degree of success, there isn't a lot of difference in what he does as compared with the world, the only exception being probably the liquor and the cigars left out of the celebration, but very few stop to realize that every good and perfect gift, which we as believers in Jesus Christ receive in our lifetime, come directly from God. In other words, the Godhead is responsible for every degree of attainment we achieve in this life. Do we pray and thank God for it? We should. Prayer should head the list of the activities for our achievement celebration. Jesus went the prayer route under such circumstances. I'll prove what I'm saying. Here it is. And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side while he sent the multitudes away. When he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray, and when the evening was come, he was there alone. Matthew 14:22-23 in the KJV. Prior to this prayer meeting, Jesus had miraculously taken 5 little loaves of bread and 2 fishes and blessed it, gave it to his disciples, and had fed 5,000 men, besides the women and the children. That was what we call a miraculous smorgasbord. You try it sometime and see how you make out. I don't think I'll do it. The Lord only has the power to do that. Yet, on the heels of his triumphant success, he wanted to place the responsibility of the miracle where it belonged, and he withdrew himself for a prayer meeting that he might rightly thank his Heavenly Father for the provisions to sustain the multitude. When you carefully study the life of Jesus and when you become acquainted with the greatest achievements of his ministry, you'll find they were often preceded and concluded in an atmosphere of prayer. One example that should be to us, if we will call ourselves members of the family of God, we guard our egos with such divine precautions, could become a tremendous factor against us becoming exalted or lifted up within ourselves and displaying a positive error of self-dependency. Such would charge us with new power, energy, and inspiration for new conquests and greater responsibilities that are available with the realm of Christian living. One of the greatest manifestations of prayer by our prayer example was put forth by Jesus Christ as he knelt in the Garden of Gethsemane prior to his death on the cross. I think this prayer revealed the zenith of absolute committal to the cause of God. There's the scripture. And they came to a place which was named Gethsemane. He sat with to his disciples, "Sit ye here while I shall pray." He went forward a little, fell on the ground, and prayed that if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. He said, "Abba, Father, all things are possible unto thee. Take away this cup from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what thou wilt." Mark 14:32-36 in the KJV. In the hour of agony, immediately prior to his death, he prayed the prayer of submission, "Not what I will, but what thou wilt." Let's examine the method by which Jesus prayed. I was impressed with the writer of the book of Hebrews, how he described the great earnestness with which Christ prayed. I don't know whether you're paid particular attention to this or not, but the writer of Hebrews puts it most forcibly. Who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, and was heard him that he feared, and being made perfect, he came the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. Hebrews 5:7-9, KJV. You'll note the writer emphasizes 2 conditions that existed in this particular prayer, and they were with strong crying and tears. Probably there were those who would read this book who are members of formal churches. If anyone ever prayed a prayer with strong crying and tears, the board of consistency, deacons or elders, would tap the person on the shoulder and ask them to leave. A lot of people are afraid of emotionalism, yet the Son of God prayed with strong crying and tears. We've already spoken about Christ praying in the garden prior to him being arrested and subsequently tried and condemned to crucifixion. For that particular prayer, it says, being in an agony, he prayed more earnestly. Luke 22:44. This word agony is a Greek word, agonia, and it means a struggle or a conflict. It comes from the word agon, which in the Greek was a place of assembly, especially the place in which Greeks assembled to celebrate solemn games. Place of contest and struggle of exertion to the utmost to overcome all opposition in attaining the goal. Hence, views of Christians in their fight to spread the gospel among their enemies and live victorious to the end. This proves that Christ was in a life and death struggle in the garden and that he was not going through experiences of ordinary prayer like we experience in our local churches. He was in acute agony. In this same verse of scripture, it further says, and his sweat was as it were great drops of blood falling down to the ground. It was recognized that under extreme mental pressure, the pores may be so dilated that blood may issue from them. There may be bloody sweat. A number of cases are on record of such extreme agony. Luke records records such an incident when Christ was suffering and praying in agony in the Garden of Gethsemane, where he was revealed to the mob by Judas. It's rather interesting, but the Apostle Paul, writing in the book of Romans, talks about the part the Holy Spirit has in a dedicated Christian's prayer life by saying, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Romans 8:26 KJV. Example of this in a more little sense is recorded in the book of Acts, where Stephen delivered a great sermon denouncing the unbelief and rebellion of Israel, and in one of the verses in that sermon, he recalls the trouble the Israelites had down in Egypt. Scripture, I have seen the affliction of my people, which is in Egypt, and they have heard their groaning, come down to deliver them. Acts 7:34 KJV. This word groanings means unutterable gushings of the heart. In other words, when we really get down to brass tacks with God in prayer, then the superficial trappings of our prayer life are laid aside, and God knows we mean business. When we get to that point in our supplications, generally we get results. Christ, on particularly every occasion, broke through the veil of human frigidity, mounted the steps of the privacy of God's being, and spread his petitions before the Almighty, expecting an answer accordingly. We could do the same thing. There's nothing to stop us. Jesus set the example. The writer of the book of Hebrews hilariously urges all of God's family to do likewise. Scripture, let us therefore come boldly into the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Hebrews 4:16. In other words, I think we should be humble before God. Okay. When a person comes to the throne of grace boldly, it doesn't mean they're coming arrogantly. It doesn't mean they're coming haughtily. But it means they are coming with confidence. They're coming believing the answer to their application will be heard. And the Bible says that when God hears the prayer, then we'll have the answer. Therefore, we come with godly confidence, freely expecting God to move in our behalf. That's the way Jesus prayed. You don't read any accounts of Jesus Christ having unanswered prayers. His pathway was not strewn with the fragments of unanswered prayer. On the occasion when Jesus finally arrived at the home of Martha and Mary in Bethany, Lazarus had been dead for 4 days. As Jesus walked out of the tomb where the dead body of Lazarus lay, in the momentous hour in front of a great crowd of Jews who had gathered to see what he would do, Jesus prayed a brief prayer, and in that prayer he makes a significant statement which I want to share with you right now. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me, and I knew that thou hearest me always. John 11:41-42 in KJV. So let's benefit from our prayer example we have in Jesus Christ, and let's enter into a private individual ministry of prayer, one that is unselfishly inaugurated for the glory of God. You could go in your closet, you could go in your room, you could pray in front of your family and nobody know you're praying. You just close your eyes and pray. Someone has said that prayer connects us with heaven's powerhouse. If there was ever a time in the history of the world, then church, which has lost the spiritual power, is today. Could it be because we're not praying as we should? The religious world is filled with plenty of dead, formal, criticizing, fault-finding, compromising, jealous, envious, pharisaical preachers and church members who are just dead weight, the kingdom of God. This vast host of spiritual bums could be won for God, spiritually energized, and placing under the burden of a genuine prayer life. Then we would see our churches producing live concerts of fresh, or live converts, a fresh army of workers could be mustered and assembled for a great job. preaching the gospel and winning the lost to Jesus Christ. I personally believe that the success of the church revolves around those of us who are members of the body of Christ, really getting down to brass tacks, getting down to the nitty-gritty, getting down to where the rubber strikes the pavement and begin to follow Jesus, our prayer example. When one takes a retrospective view of the staunch pillars of prayer from the Old Testament, right on through the New Testament, we see that any degree of success they attained was usually accountable to prayer. Please bear in mind that they were men of like passions, the same as we are. The first physical healing recorded in all the Bible came after Abraham prayed unto God, and God healed Abimelech and his wife and his maidservants, and they bare children. Genesis 20 and verse 17 in the KJV. Even God can intervene in the life of a barren couple. It wouldn't be because the doctor ran some laboratory tests, but it'll be because God opened up the womb of the barren woman. Because God giveth and God taketh away. In Old Testament days, the king had received a very solemn message that he was going to die, and naturally it shook the king up. And so in his moment of frustration, he began to cry. And as he fell off his bed weeping, he began to pray, saying, I beseech thee, O Lord, remember now how I have wailed or walked before thee in truth and with a perfect heart and done which is good in thy sight. 2 Kings 20 and verse 3 in the King James Version. For Isaiah the prophet could get off of the premises and on his journey, God stopped the prophet saying, turn again and tell Hezekiah, the captain of my people, I have heard thy prayer. I will add unto thy days 15 years. 2 Kings 20 verses 4 through 6 in the King James Version. In another dramatic account where prayer played an important part, we find Simon Peter had been arrested, put in jail by King Herod, and Peter is locked up in the tight security ward of the local prison. Herod had already killed James, the brother of John, with a sword. Herod was on a rampage, and Peter could have very easily been the next victim. But the scripture says, prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. Acts 12:5, King James Version. You know the ending and the hilarious climax of this thrilling story. While Peter was sleeping between the two soldiers, he was securely chained to both of them so he couldn't slip away. God sent an angel from heaven down to the local prison house, and the angel came in, unlocked the chains, nudged Peter, woke him up, and let him out of the prison. And then the angel told Peter out in the main street in front of the prison house, and the angel suddenly disappeared. That was the result of prayer by a Bible-believing church. Your problems in your church? Get the godly members of that corporate body on their knees, agonizing before God, weeping before God, beseeching of God at the throne of grace to bring deliverance. The deliverance will come. It has to come because God has promised that it will. So often we don't believe prayer. So often we really don't think it will work. First example of this was by the church that was praying for Peter, because once he got out of jail, he immediately hightailed it over to where the church was meeting, where they were at a prayer meeting. And when he got over where Peter found the door locked with the inside, and so he hurriedly knocked on the door because he didn't know whether the jailer was chasing him or not. So he knocked on the door, and the Bible says that when people inside the room opened the door and saw Peter standing there, they were astonished. Acts 12:16, King James Version. So get in the prayer mood. Follow the outline that Jesus Christ has laid down to you to follow. And then pray, believing the answer is going to come to your prayer. And then when it comes, don't be astonished. Come it will. Because God has promised that no good thing would be withheld from them who love him. Keep his commandments and walk uprightly. Sweet hour of prayer, sweet hour of prayer that calls me from a world of care and bids me at my Father's throne make all my wants and wishes known. In seasons of distress and grief, my soul has often found relief, and oft escaped the tempter's snare by thy return, sweet hour of prayer. And the next lesson will be entitled The Jew.
And we want to thank you, Ruth, for that great information about Jesus being our prayer example. Amen. But right now we're going to pause for station ID and a little bit of information about the great programming found only here at the Six Eyes Radio Network. Enjoy great programming here on the Six Eyes Radio Network 7 days a week by calling 424-243-9617. Again, 424-243-9617. Press the number one, join the conversation. And it all gets started here on Sunday for the Sunday Gospel Show.
Get your praise on without leaving the house. 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Pacific. On Monday, get motivated. With Motivational Monday with Pastor Kenneth Bonnet, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 Pacific. On Tuesday, Evangelist Timothy Gruber takes the mics on the Word of the King on 6 on his radio, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 Pacific. Then on Wednesday, it's time for Bible study with the Wednesday Bible Study Show with Missionary Ken and Ruth Wolfgang with great music and scripture, 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 Pacific. On Thursday, it's the Jumbo Braille program here on the Six Eyes Radio Network, the one and only program here on the Six Eyes Radio Network that can be felt, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 Pacific. On Friday, it's College on the Air. It's the Talk with Missionary Ken and Ruth Wolfgang show. It's where you get Bible College on the Air with no homework. 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 Pacific. And last but not least, it's open programming on Saturdays.
7 days a week. But what you really want, the Six Eyes Radio Network.
Glory, hallelujah. We're back and want to remind those who called 424-243-9617. Again, 424-243-9617. Press the number 1, join the conversation. You can ask your questions, give your comments, or even answer our question of the day. What was David's biggest sin, and what did you learn from it? What was David's biggest sin, and what did you learn from it? It's that time. It's open mic time. All right. And Sister Ruth, who do we got with us?
Well, of course, we have God the Father, Son, Holy Ghost, Band of Angels. We have you, Brother Jim, Brother Six, and me.
Okay. Well, we're going to let you start off, Ruth. With the question of the day, what was David's biggest sin, and of course, what did you learn specifically from it?
Okay, the biggest sin he did was actually kill. He murdered somebody and he also committed adultery. Well, I've done neither, but I really think that it's sad what he did by murdering that man that was in love with his wife, and she was in love with him. And he lured her over there, and then she did fall in love with him and marry him after her husband died, but she was very broken up when her husband died. So I would say you would have to really be awful stupid to do what David did there, but he did ask forgiveness. God forgave him. He wrote the Psalms. He had some good points afterwards, but like everything we all do, we all sin.
All right. Well, I'm going to answer the question is – of course, you had the right point. That is David's biggest sin was between the murder and the adultery. But really, the biggest sin that he had was the trickery that he used to accomplish it, the trickery. When you look at that story, it was the trickery and the deception, because that's exactly the same thing that Satan used with the serpent for Eve, deception. That was the biggest sin that David technically had. And what did I learn from that? What I can learn from that is not to be deceitful myself. Because a lot of times people can be very easily deceptive to their fellow man, and that's not the way to be when you say that you got Christ in your heart. All right, now what we're going to do, first six, we're going to have you let us know if you had any questions or comments on the material we presented tonight.
Very great information. Going to listen back to it later on before I go to bed for the new year.
All right. And then the question of the day, like we said, what was David's biggest sin and what did you learn from it? I don't hear you, Six. You must have muted yourself.
I don't know, Ken. Like I said, I'm going to have to go back and listen. I don't know what his biggest sin was. So I don't want to say.
Well, usually most people agree on his biggest sin was when he messed with Bathsheba when he wasn't supposed to.
That was the wife, right?
No, that was, it ended up being his wife, yes, but he got her through trickery.
Okay.
Yeah, she murdered,
he murdered the wife,
or the male husband.
Let me give him the story, Ruth.
All right, that'd be easier than me having.
Okay, what it is six, David saw Bathsheba out taking a bath while her husband was out in the field as a soldier fighting a battle. He saw Bathsheba taking a bath. So he calls Bathsheba to the palace because he was the king at the time. They got together, they did the nasty, and when they committed adultery, then David realized, wait a minute, because Bathsheba comes to him a little later and says, hey, I'm with child, I'm pregnant. So David tries to first pull a little sneaky, gets Uriah, who is Bathsheba's husband, gets him out of the battle, brings him home, and tries to make it look like tells Uriah to go home to be with his wife to make it look like it was Uriah's child. Well, Uriah wasn't going to do that. He wasn't going to go home while his fellow countrymen are out there in the battle. So David, that plan didn't work. So David hatches a plan to have Uriah put in the hottest part of the battle where most of the vigorous fighting is going on, and then have all the other soldiers back off, leaving Uriah alone to fight the battle alone so he would be killed. And then after that happened, then David, when Uriah was killed, he then took Bathsheba to be his wife. David did.
Wow.
And don't forget that guy. What was his name? Nathan, that came after him and said, you art the man, when he
right.
had to show him his sin?
Yeah, that was after the fact, but mainly we were talking about the sin itself and what happened. So what could you say you would learn from that story, Six?
Okay, thank you.
Oh, I think you muted yourself again. Hello, Six. I think you muted yourself.
I don't know what's going on with this phone, but I suggest everybody go back and listen. You know, make sure you download this episode, the last episode, 2021. So make sure you download it and share it with your friends.
All right. Well, speaking of which, Six, go ahead and tell them how they can get the Six Eyes Radio Network whenever they like. And any final comments before we have you close in prayer?
All right. To enjoy all the greatness on the Six Eyes Radio Network, just simply go to your podcast app on your iPhone or Android. And when you go to the podcast section app, type in Six Eyes Radio, SIXEYES, space radio, RADIO. And when you press search, at the top right corner, you'll press subscribe. You'll see our logo, and you'll see Motivational Monday. You'll know you're in the right spot, and you can have the Six Eyes Radio Network on demand whenever you want it. Any show you want to listen to, you can download it and have it at your leisure for your enjoyment. Also, if you'd like to donate to help keep us bringing you great programming on the Six Eyes Radio Network, you can go to PayPal. And the email address you'll enter is 6i6, that's SIXEYES, digit number 6, at gmail.com. SIXEYES, digit number 6, at gmail.com. And whatever God puts in your heart to help us keep bringing you that program will be greatly appreciated. If you utilize the Cash App, it will be $SIXEYES, digit 2, to digit 4. Once again, $SIXEYES, digit 2, to digit 4. Once again, as 2022 comes in, please be careful if you're out and about enjoying the festivities. Please make sure you're careful because we can't be handling the guns, shooting the guns are going to be responsible. We only can hope and pray that they are. Please be careful. Don't be around any windows and just be safe so you can enjoy a brand new year, 2022. So I want to thank you all for listening. Continue to support the station. Go to Facebook and like the Six Eyes Radio Facebook page. You already know how to listen to us on your podcast with your iPhone, your Android, your tablet, your iPad. Simply, once again, go to your podcast section. Type in Six Eyes Radio, S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, space radio, R-A-D-I-O. Top right corner, press subscribe. You got the Six Eyes Radio Network on demand. Great show tonight.
All right. Go ahead and give us a closing prayer, Six.
All right. Well, dear Lord, we want to thank you for all that you do and continue to do for us. We want to thank you for bringing us through yet another year as we embark on 2022. We want to thank you for all that you do and continue to do for us. We ask that you keep blessing our endeavors, get rid of procrastination, keep our family, our friends, our fans healthy and strong, and please just keep us all healthy, keep us strong, and you can do away with this Omicron, Corona, Delta. You can wipe it away in one swipe. So just please, we want everyone to be careful from the Six Eyes Radio Network. Continue to wash your hands, practice social distancing, and wear your mask. Once again, thanks for all that you do and continue to do for us. And we welcome in 2022. Good night and God bless. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. And now we're going to close with this here Red Sovine song, and we'll catch you in 2022.
Happy New Year, everyone.
Happy New Year. Happy New Year from the Six Eyes Radio Network.
So you sit down at her table, and now you're buying two drinks at a time. You think you got it made, but I know better, and you'll find out for yourself at closing time. 'Cause she's got cold love to go, cold love to go. She's been hurt too many times by men like you, she knows. She won't believe a word you say. She'd heard that line before, and I just thought you ought to know that she's got cold love to go. She'll sit there each night and drink and dance with anyone, and always stay until they close the bar. She'll always lead you on and let you have your fun. Don't fool yourself, she's going just that far. 'Cause she's got cold love to go, cold love to go. She's been hurt too many times by men like you, she knows. She won't believe a word you say. She'd heard that line before, and I just thought she ought to know that she's got cold love to go. Yes, she's got cold love to go, cold love to go. She's been hurt too many times by men like you, she knows. She won't believe a word you say. She'd heard that line before, and I just thought you ought to know that she's got cold love to go. Yes, she's got cold love to go.